1190 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin state budget is now on Governor Tony Evers' desk. He's threatened to veto the entire bill. Civic Media's Terry Bell reports.
The Wisconsin Assembly gave final legislative approval last night to a two-year plan that spends $99 billion. It includes record amounts of state money for local governments and public and private K-12 schools. It raises pay for state employees by 6% and cuts income taxes by $3.5 billion. Republican Terry Katzma.
If the government takes too much money, we think that the public, the taxpayers, the hardworking taxpayers of the state can spend this money better than what Madison bureaucrats can do.
The budget also cuts $32 million for University of Wisconsin diversity offices and raises fees for electric cars. And it defunds the Child Care Count subsidy program for daycare centers. Democrat Greta Neubauer.
If Wisconsin was not one of the most gerrymandered states in the country, I just don't think that this tax proposal would be in front of us today.
The bill now goes to the governor, who objects to tax cuts for the wealthy and the university diversity cuts in particular. Terry Bell. Civic Media News.
Minutes before the air quality advisory was set to expire across Wisconsin at noon on Thursday, the Department of Natural Resources extended it for most of the state through noon today. Officials with the DNR say monitoring the air quality from Canadian wildfires is a dynamic situation, and all but the northwestern portion of Wisconsin remains under advisories ranging from unhealthy for sensitive groups to very unhealthy for all residents. Wisconsinites overwhelmingly support abortion access in all or most cases, according to the most recent poll conducted by the Marquette University Law School. Civic Media's Pete Schwabo with more.
66%, or nearly 2 out of 3 responders, support legal abortion access in the state, an issue that has been the center of legal uncertainty since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade 1 year ago. Poll director Charles Franklin.
This issue, and the way it's a live issue in the legislature and likely to remain one, both here in the state and elsewhere, it's likely to keep this issue in front of the public over the next year or so.
There is currently a lawsuit working its way through the Wisconsin state courts to determine the validity of the state's 174-year-old abortion ban. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Marquette's most recent poll was released on Wednesday. Officials with the University of Wisconsin system intend to review admissions policies at all of the system's schools in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling yesterday, striking down affirmative action. UW system spokesperson Mark Pitch told Wisconsin Public Radio the system will assess the ruling and abide by the law. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A man who was armed and intoxicated was shot by police yesterday in Oshkosh. According to Oshkosh Crime Prevention and Public Affairs Officer Kate Mann, Oshkosh police got a call at approximately 6:18 a.m. that there was an inebriated man carrying a loaded rifle near the Mill Street boat launch. Police made an effort to de-escalate, but the man refused to drop the weapon. Officers tried using less than lethal rounds, but the man still refused to comply. He was shot after aiming his rifle at police. The man was taken to the hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. The Green Bay Police Department is asking for your help in locating a man who might be endangered. Jimmy Michaud is a 47-year-old white male, about 5'8 and 170 pounds. He was last seen around 1 a.m. June 29th near Cass Street and South Madison Street in Green Bay, wearing a black t-shirt, sweatpants, and a black and white beanie. Anyone with information should contact the Green Bay Police Department. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The Brewers take the series in New York. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a come-from-behind win, 3-2 over the Mets. New York got up 2-0 with a pair of solo home runs, but Milwaukee's Adrian Houser, back in the starting rotation, settled in and got the win pitching 6 innings.
Felt good, yeah, felt really good. Felt like, you know, still been putting in the work and, you know, ready for this moment. And, you know, just, you know, felt good to be able to go out there and help the boys put up a win.
Then in the 6th, Brewers catcher Victor Carantini at the plate with runners on base against the Mets' Matt Scherzer. Brian Anderson with a call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Caratini into center field. That is way back there. Nimmo is on the run, and we are tied. Victor Caratini with with a quick strike. 2-2 game on Caratini's fourth home run.
Mets pitcher Matt Scherzer.
Anytime we lose by one, you always look, you know, what could you have done to prevent, you know, one extra run from scoring? And you're always going to look at yourself and, you know, what you could have done. And, you know, it's unfortunate that homer really kind of flipped the game a little bit.
The Brewers in a tie for first place with the Reds. They open a three-game weekend series tonight in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. By the way, the Brewers had a heck of a time getting to the ballpark. A presidential visit had traffic blocked up in New York for hours. Finally, most of the Brewers got off the team bus and rode the subway to Citi Field, saving themselves about a half hour in traffic. The NFL cracking down on players betting on the games. Three players suspended for a year, now out indefinitely. The Colts immediately releasing two of them involved. A fourth player from the Titans will sit out six games for betting on other sports while in a team facility. No Packers involved. Matt LaFleur.
We haven't had any issues, so knock on wood, it's not going to be the last that we talk about this.
Golf, day two of the U.S. Seniors Open at Century World in Stevens Point. Madison's Jerry Kelly playing despite an injured left wrist.
It's been going on. It's been going out of joint for about a couple months.
That's Jerry Kelly with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
What's up? Hey, man, what's your name?
What's up?
What's everything?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. Looking forward to this long weekend.
How yeah, you? Man. Yeah, you know, but it's going to be blistering hot, man. I think that's kind of what we've been asking for. Well, maybe that's what you and I have been asking for. I don't know about this yahoo on the other side.
No, blistering hot. Blistering hot is not my, that's not my wish.
Hey, Sandy, how you doing? It's Friday. It's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm a little stiff. I was gardening all day yesterday, pretending to be either, I don't know, anyway, gardener.
Well, let me, you have always said you're not a proponent of that 90 degree, 60% humidity kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of stuff we're getting ready to go into. As well we should. We're going into July, right?
Yeah, I have a wide tolerance, but I used to be a runner. And I'll tell you, heat is the enemy of running.
Right.
Particularly humid heat. So now that I'm not a runner, I guess I don't mind the heat very much.
Yeah. Well, so let's get right at it, Sandy. The Senate and the and the legislature passed
here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, here in Wisconsin, the budget, biennial budget, and there's some things in it, Sandy, that I think aren't good for the urban centers or the rural areas, and I don't know how, Sandy, it is possible that the Republicans voted, you know, unilaterally across the board to take away the supplement for daycares. 2,300 daycares are projected to close.
You know, and you look at that alone, the number of people whose employment will be terminated, the daycares are all run by people with some employees, as well as taking care of a number of children. So the disruption of that to the economy, you know, the family that depends on daycare has someone who's working while their children are in daycare, right? So that the availability of a worker is probably put into question because now we've got someone who might have to stay at home. The family might now break through into the poverty level because they can no longer afford to have two workers. So you've got, I mean, the disruption and the economic impact of disrupting child daycare, the impact on the children, and also all the studies that demonstrate that adequate preschool daycare as well as preschool training is fundamentally important to how well kids get started. So this is like, it's the most hellish kind of a decision. I can't imagine it.
When you're looking at the fact that there's a $7-plus billion surplus that the state has, and we know that that's a one-time thing. But, Sandy, you constantly talk about the fact that daycare is a main component of upward mobility long-term.
Yeah, and investing in the future. I mean, if you're talking about investing in the future, if you're talking about solving social issues that we face today, child daycare is a fundamentally important thing. It's fundamentally important for the next generation, you know?
And that doesn't matter whether it's rural or urban.
Right.
It's the same thing. Well, so I don't understand how, you know, this decision is palatable to rural or urban people. It's just not right, is it?
Well, I don't understand how the Republican platform continues to attract voters when the actions are so detrimental to a cross-section of Wisconsin that is an economic cross-section. Terminating that railroad, you know, the train, right, was going to hurt everybody. Many, many jobs for working class Wisconsin. Many jobs.
Middle class jobs.
Middle class. Upper middle class jobs for middle class Wisconsin, particularly in a Wisconsin where rural Wisconsin jobs were waning, and people who were trained in a way that could have facilitated putting them into these good jobs. I mean, it was a horrible decision. It was done for political reasons, but now we've got these ongoing decisions, like the child daycare decision, just boggles my mind. The Medicaid, the termination of the extended Medicaid support affects everybody. It also affects hospitals. It affects the exposure of hospitals to having to carry now the weight of, because, you know, the alternative to Medicaid is going to an emergency room.
But Sandy, all of those things, including this $3.5 billion tax cut that gives 11 people making $75 million or more a year an average of $1.8 million tax cut. Let me see if I can try to. I'm not good at the math, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're making $75 million or more per year.
Let me just tell you this. Those people are not a big part of our listening audience, and they aren't a big part of anybody's listening audience, because there aren't that many of them.
Sandy, that doesn't include you?
No.
So Sandy, they get a $1.8 million tax cut. They're making $75 million or more, and in this tax cut, someone making under $50,000 receives $36. So, again, I'm talking to rural Wisconsin, if they're listening, because these are the people that you've elected. They voted across the board to these things. And how is it possible? And, Sandy, you mentioned off the air earlier that even this $1.8 million tax cut that they want to give to somebody making $75 million, is that going to keep them here?
Well, no. I mean, the problem is that we've got many, many people in Wisconsin who decide that they're going to live 6 months and one day in Florida because Florida does not have an income tax. They tax people. They derive revenues in Florida just as much as we do per capita, but they derive it in a different way. They don't do it through income taxes. They do it through higher sales taxes. They do it through the huge volume of tourists who pay taxes, right, or through sales taxes. They do it in a variety of ways. But, you know, we can't get our income tax low enough to equal Florida's because we don't have the alternative revenue sources in Wisconsin to derive the revenues per capita that Florida does in other ways. So, it's not like people go to Florida when their kids are in school, because it turns out the Florida schools aren't very good.
Right.
So when do you go to Florida? People move to Florida when their children are out of the house, and they're now free to decide where they're going to live 6 months and one day. And I guarantee you that there are lots of wealthy Wisconsinites who are living 6 months and one day in Florida, so they don't have to pay income taxes here in Wisconsin. And we're still catering to those people by trying to reduce income taxes.
You know, Sandy, I do. When you listen to these things that have certainly been proposed by the Republicans, and you know they want to cut $32 million and 188 positions from UW-Madison dealing with diversity. They want to wipe diversity off the map in the state of Wisconsin. I get it. I understand. You know,
well, that in a way that might be prescient to what the Supreme Court has just done. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, and we're certainly going to go there. They needed to build an engineering facility in UW-Madison that's 80 some odd years old. They said no to that.
They said no to that just despite. They don't like, apparently, the chancellor of the UW-Madison has gotten crosswise with Robin Voss. She's acted in a manner that was viewed as being sort of uppity and talking about her experience in other states and how Wisconsin, blah, blah. Okay, but this isn't a personality contest. This is the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the jewel of the crown. And everyone understands that every major highly regarded university in the United States is building up their schools of engineering, their STEM education, because the future of America, the future great jobs of America are no longer just going to be in finance, but rather engineering and intellectual property in particular. The invention of things is becoming fundamentally important. And Wisconsin has lagged in that area, and our School of Engineering is not regarded as well as it could be. So this whole school, this new facility for engineering at UW had a real purpose, and it had a real purpose that was grounded in a benefit to the state of Wisconsin, but apparently personality conflict has carried the day, and so we can have personal vendettas carried out to essentially punish the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
You know, Sandy, part of all of this is, and at the root of it, is gerrymandering, and the fact that gerrymandering has worked, you know, to the benefit of many in the state of Wisconsin. Decisions that have been made.
Well, you know, what gerrymandering has done, you're absolutely right, but it has created legislative districts that are so safe that the legislator representing that district has no risk other than in a primary contest. And so what they're only worried about is a primary contest. And the people in the state and the general political movement that's most likely to produce a primary opponent to somebody is the highly conservative side. Okay, they're the most willfully organized part of, for instance, the Republican Party. And so it has driven Republican conduct further to the right, and it has caused the Republican Party to even represent what is possibly a minority of their own party.
Yes.
Because it's not like the conservatives represent the majority of the Republican Party, but they represent the most willful part of the Republican Party, the part that can drive you, if you're a Republican representative, into having a primary opponent. So you listen disproportionately to that side.
So, Sandy, the part of this, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, they're not always speaking on behalf of the average rank-and-file Republican, yet the average rank-and-file Republican are voting for them.
Well, you know,
we're going to break, Sandy. When we come back, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Baseball and hot dogs, they go together like front porches and rocking chairs. And with Village Hearth Buns, you don't have to go to your local ballpark to enjoy a really good hot dog. Just grill up a package of quality Franks and serve with your favorite toppings on a Village Hearth Bun. They're the same delicious buns served at baseball stadiums throughout the Midwest. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 86. Today, under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. 64 tonight, partly cloudy skies, a blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 83. Upper 70s, Sunday turning warmer on Monday with highs in the mid-80s. Once again, highs reach 86 today, lows level off around 64 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 75.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on WGBW.
How sadly gay the glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone.
So another crooner morning do we have?
Crooners. Crooners, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going home.
All crooners for you, Sandy.
To my city.
Just not Perry Como, please. Day. Or Pat Boone.
I left my heart in the walking San Francisco.
Yeah, back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is in the studio. So, Sandy, we were talking off the air about how is it possible that in the face of these decisions, and if you look at the budget that Republicans have passed, the average person in this state is not going to see any changes that are going to help them.
Well, they're going to see changes that will hurt
negatively.
Them.
Negatively. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about the Wisconsin budget process is the governor in our state has this line item veto concept. So the governor can take his pen. I know because when I worked with Lucy, Governor Lucy, he went and was one of the governors who substantially enlarged and tested the edge of the envelope as to how much can you, because when I was working with them, we crossed out words that turn negative to positive and positive to negative. And so you can cross out any words in a sentence, in a line, in a paragraph, and change the meaning and change essentially the outcome in a budget bill. So the governor of the state has the power to line item veto a whole bunch of these things. But the issue will be how many of these things were part of the agreement that was reached between the governor and right. the legislature to pass the budget bill and to pass some of the other things, the Save Milwaukee financing portion.
So that usurps then now the...
Well, the deal part of it wouldn't usurp it. It's just that the governor would be going back on his word and would have a political problem if he didn't stick to his word with respect to an arrangement or an agreement that was reached in a negotiation over what would be in the bill. So we don't know exactly what that deal is, and we'll soon find out when he starts exercising his line item veto.
You know, Sandy, the governor right now is, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place because— You know, Democrats are saying, veto it all. right? We don't want to see, and as you stated several weeks ago, what happens if this thing is vetoed and Republicans say no, it goes back to the current budget that we're dealing with now. How painful can that be?
Well, obviously, there's pain, and the legislature presumably has an obligation to itself and to all of the voters in the state to act responsibly with respect to important issues. But with the urban versus rural conflict we have, with the willingness of this legislature to respond to just a portion of their electorate, you know, the Tea Party movement taught the political world how strong a minority could be. And the main power the Tea Party movement had was their ability to give rise to primary races. The Tea Party would march into a sitting assemblyman or a sitting congressman's office and say, look, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to face opposition. And then that opposition would be well-funded and organized and have a significant opportunity potentially to unseat the person that was the incumbent. And after that was demonstrated just a couple of times, this strident minority developed a great deal of power. And the same thing is ongoing now. The strident minority has a great deal of political power, and the strident part of the Republican Party is the most conservative part. So we've got, and with the districting in the state, we have many, many districts in the state where the Republican incumbent is absolutely safe. We have Democratic districts that are set up the same way because this stacking approach to gerrymandering is to create a smaller number of safe, essentially minority districts to minimize the opportunity of a party to be in contention in what could be a majority of seats. So here we have a purple state like Wisconsin, where when we vote per capita, we end up being about a 50% Democrat, 50% Republican state. But when you look at the assembly seats, it's in the high 60% that are assembly. We have a supermajority of Republican Senate seats and nearly a supermajority in the assembly.
You know, Sandy, didn't surprise me. Certainly, I listened to some of the debates from the Democrats, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours, whatever it was. We knew what the outcome was going to be before they even did it. And across the board, it was, you know, not one Republican voted the other way, not one Democrat voted the other way. And it's just a matter of numbers, right? So you can't change that. That's where we are. Listen, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Made to the air. I don't care. My love waits there. In San Francisco, above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun.
Summer 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The air in 23 states clogged and hazy again today due to Canadian wildfire smoke. Chicago and Detroit seeing high air quality index readings. The entire state of Pennsylvania under a code red.
I've lived here for 20 years, and no. I'd even ask somebody at Rite Aid who she lived in California, and she's not seen anything like this here.
The sky is also a concern due to air travel. Today expected to be one of the busiest travel days of the year ahead of the 4th of July holiday. But more cancellations and delays are expected after a ripple effect of flight issues this week. 7,000 flights canceled since last Saturday. The Supreme Court set to release another round of major opinions after its bombshell decision yesterday, striking down affirmative action in college admissions. On tap today, rulings on student loan forgiveness and LGBTQ rights. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. Outagamie County employees will receive a pay increase next year. According to the Post-Crescent, the county dealt with record-high employee turnover last year due to uncompetitive wages. A compensation study revealed that 60% of jobs in the county pay less than competitive market salaries. At one point last year, the county had 198 open positions and lost an employee a day on average. A Green Bay teen injured a police officer with a stolen car, and it was all caught on a dash cam. Officers pulled over 17-year-old Darian Pinchard on June 21st at North Washington in Maine. According to Green Bay Police, Pinchard backed the vehicle into the squad car, injuring one of the officers, then speeding off. Police decided not to engage in a high-speed chase, factoring in public safety. Authorities did track down Pinchard a short time later and made the arrest. Pinchard was brought into adult court and charged with multiple crimes. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000
pies. 150,000
pies
and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and in enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
The horn of like two. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Spreading the news.
Oh, and Tony, though, both coast
you're
to coast.
Leaving Tony today. Bennett. Tell him, Frank. I want to be.
This is both of them, Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah.
New York, New York.
So that's putting butter on
you're
both sides of the bread.
Shoes. They are longing to stray and step around. The heart of
well
it.
Into both of their
New
careers.
York, New York.
Well, they hadn't lost anything, right? You know. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, before we leave this subject, this is... and has been Wisconsin politics for quite some time now. when you were around with Governor Knowles.
Lucy,
I'm sorry, Governor Lucy. When you were around with Governor Lucy, I remember the difference in the rest of the nation used to look at the state of Wisconsin and talk about the clean politics. We were known for.
Absolutely. You know, when Lucy followed Knowles, I was part of the transition team for Lucy. Governor Knowles was extremely congenial and helpful. He was a friend to Lucy. The two of them were congenial friends. The party politics was honored, but it was very civilized and very congenial, and it was clear that everyone was interested in their version of what was good for Wisconsin. But they were all interested in improving the lot of the state of Wisconsin and everybody in the state. And
there was enough to go around.
And there was enough to go around. And that was clear because of – and it was clear in the Lucy administration. He passed the machinery and equipment exemption, which was probably the most profoundly a good thing for business in Wisconsin as a Democrat. The world was different then. And the world was not the partisan politics was not a blood game, okay? It was not a blood sport. And it's become a blood sport now, and it's become a blood sport that ignores the welfare of the general state and looks at very specific interests. And we have this rural-urban kind of a conflict now that's open, notorious, and is extremely detrimental. You know, the things that are being done are, you know, there's this expression, dog in the manger, where you do something just because it hurts the other guy, even if it doesn't help you. And an awful lot of politics now has looked like dog in the manger. And I would say that it became most profoundly obvious after Scott Walker,
yes.
during and after Scott Walker, where it all surfaced in the most clear-cut kind of a way. Tommy Thompson's administration had been congenial, and
yes.
many things were accomplished. He was a long-term Republican. One of the reasons he was reelected so often was the sort of centrist approach to helping Wisconsin. That occurred there, and the same with Doyle. But then Walker came along, and it was the beginning of blood sport politics nationally and locally. And I think it's the reason why he was briefly considered as a presidential fodder, because he was at the leading edge of this, and Alec and the people, the groups that he represented, the national conservative groups that sort of decided to be embodied in Scott Walker.
Well, you know, Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I recall, it appears that at that point in time, the state of Wisconsin and Scott Walker and what they were able, Rance Priebus, Ron Johnson.
Well, but there was also national conservative think tanks who had ready access to Scott Walker, and who helped him, you know, the Bradley Foundation and the people that are related to that, and the
right.
foundations that are related to that, had very direct input into Scott Walker. And the things that they had begun, they had sort of theoretically concluded would be very interesting targets for conservative politics, became manifest in Scott Walker's campaign and in his conduct, particularly Title 10, which was, this profoundly...
Act 10,
I mean,
right.
which was aimed directly at union organization, and Wisconsin became a right-to-work state.
You know, Sandy, you're absolutely right, because they were able to move that to Washington. Wisconsin politics wound up
Well, Wisconsin was always a laboratory. It was a laboratory for progressive politics. You know, La Follette was the leading edge of essentially the New Deal, and then Wisconsin was a model for good government, for clean government,
right.
cleaning up patronage and getting patronage out of politics. Wisconsin was the leading edge of that. Wisconsin has long been a laboratory. We adopted lots of legislation in Wisconsin that became the model for national model legislation.
Right.
Wisconsin was always the leading edge. So I guess in a ironic kind of a way, we became the leading edge for this move in a backward direction, essentially attacking government itself and trying to strangle government, and Wisconsin was part of that too.
So, Sandy, do you see in the near future? Because this has to change. If the state of Wisconsin is going to move forward, that includes rural Wisconsin as well as urban Wisconsin, and we can come back under one accord, or you know, some semblance of one accord. Do you foresee that in the near future? Do you foresee that happening?
Well, I certainly hope so. The interesting thing is that the University of Wisconsin in Madison was always, in a way, a prime actor in developing this very reasoned and reasonable approach to politics in the state. We had a very high intellectual content for Wisconsin generally. We have a very well-educated state. We have a state that was very well-educated in places like UW-Madison. And those thought processes are what contributed mightily to Wisconsin being this leader state in so many ways. And here we now have, however, sort of a direct attack on UW-Madison. Yes. So in a way, you can see that maybe the legislature understands that this drive in Wisconsin towards being sort of a progressive leader was founded in the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So maybe what needs to happen is an attack on UW-Madison, which is what's ongoing.
You know, you know, 844-967-2789, 844-967.
We're talking about universities, I think we should shift to...
I was getting ready to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court, struck down affirmative action and admissions. And I wanted to ask you... and one of the things...
Well, the defendants in that were...
Asians.
But the plaintiffs were Asians. The defendants were two lofty educational institutions, North Carolina University, sort of one of the very best public universities, and Harvard University, obviously one of the top private universities, both of whom have, for quite a number of years, sponsored what was, affirmative action-type programs for... adding diversity to their student body. And I went to Harvard myself. One of my roommates, my freshman year at Harvard, was an African-American kid from Barry Williams. We shared a name from New York. We've remained friends forever. He changed my life, he was the first black man's hand I ever shook. I went a white kid from Whitefish Bay. I played football maybe against a couple of black kids. But, when he stuck his hand out to shake my hand, I realized, my God, this is the first. And I was asked by Harvard at the time, would I be willing to room with someone of a different race? I said, I thought I would be eager to. But the universities are going to get over this quickly, because I think that there are plenty of ways to get around using race itself rather than socioeconomic factors as ingredients for admissions. Because I'll tell you, it's vitally important to the people who go to the schools, to the educational experience they realize at the schools, to have diversity in the classroom. It's vital to our society that there be upward mobility offered to all sorts of people. And it's clear that the testing that's always been utilized was in many ways always biased against people who were socioeconomically deprived. They came from families that didn't read as much. They came from schools that didn't have as high level of education. They came from cultures that didn't necessarily drive them in the direction of being able to test well, regardless of their intellectual capacity, okay? And so schools are going to get around this because they have to, because it's important to society and it's important to corporate America. Procter & Gamble, there were plenty of amicus briefs, meaning friends of the court briefs, written by corporate America in support of the affirmative action programs.
So let me ask you, because at the root of, I think a lot of this is the fact that K through 12 education is so imbalanced, and so we can't then expect, if K through 12 education is in many instances, depending on where you live and where you come from, not right. equal and equitable. How can you then expect there to be a level playing field once those same people matriculate onto a university?
Well, absolutely, and that was part of the view of the universities that as and you know in today's world, many universities have dropped both the ACT standard test as well as the College Board. I've got grandchildren going to college now. Most of them tell me that in their admissions, they can decide on their own whether they want to submit standardized tests to the universities or not. And one of the reasons the universities dropped standardized testing was because their expectation was that the Supreme Court would rule this way. My expectation was that they would. I've always thought that affirmative action expressed the way it is was on thin ice with respect to the 14th Amendment, where it says basically that you can't use race as a direct applied criteria in most circumstances. And while the universities could stand up and say, yeah, but in this circumstance, we're doing it for really positive reasons. But, you know, that's a slippery slope. What's a positive reason? And, you know, right now, I heard on the radio this morning that corporations could be allowed maybe to continue using it if they can show that it's in their corporate interest. Well, 50 years ago, it would have been in the corporate interest to continue
to discriminate.
Okay. So, like I said, it's invidious, but there are other factors. We can use zip codes. We can use all kinds of other factors that will have the implicit effect of improving the opportunity for people of different races.
Sandy, what the way it appears to people of color is that now all of a sudden the United States Supreme Court wants a colorblind society when it comes to education, which is something that we don't have now. It's also been, what, a little more than 60 years since the universities were forced to start accepting people of color. Because by law, they were denied. People were denied an opportunity to go to the university.
Right.
To somehow now, 350 years, 400 years up from chattel slavery and other things, Sandy, to now say it's been discriminatory based on what the 14th Amendment says, it's hard to look at that and say, hey, oh, by the way, we've had enough. 60 years is enough to level the playing field. Hold the thought. Got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Friday. My co-host, Sandy Williams, will be right back.
The Dell Technologies Black Friday and July event starts now with limited quantity deals on top business PCs with Windows 11 Pro. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Plus, get special financing with Dell Business Credit. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Offered to business customers by WebBank, who determines qualifications for and terms of credit.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows around 64. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 83. Upper 70s, Sunday turning warmer on Monday with highs in the mid 80s. Once again, high of 86 this afternoon. We should dip down to around 64 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 75.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
Red roses too, I see them blue. For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Yeah, you know, these songs clearly stand the test of time. Long after you and I are gone, these songs will still be around, right?
People will still know who Satchmo was.
Yeah. They're still going to know all these people out there we're playing today. Got to go to a break.
We're coming back from a break.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Fridays were saying to him, Sandy, this is without question a discussion that is in the early stages. Will be clearly carved up in and looked at. It's not a final, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, the Supreme Court, it's not a final precedent.
Right.
Well, I mean, it didn't put the final nail in the coffin, but the language of it makes pretty clear that affirmative action in its current format, where it expressly talks about using race as a positive, minority race as a positive. And the fact that it was brought by Asians, for instance, well, they say that there's this invidious discrimination against Asians because Asians do so very well on all the standardized tests, and yet they don't. Their percentages get limited by the fact that there are going to be other people who are let in on a kind of race, for instance, black students who don't test as well.
So Sandy, let me ask you this then. So there's also something in universities where, you know, families,
yeah,
doors are opened a little bit more.
Legacies, yes.
And athletics.
Yes.
And so how come we don't touch those?
Well, they aren't race. although I'll say that legacy ends up being essentially race because legacies of most universities that had racially restricted patterns in the past end up being white.
Yes.
But my view is that the universities, at least certainly the ones that were defendants in this case and most universities, are very aggressively and positively on this bent in a direction of trying to achieve racial diversity. And that means as well African-American, black diversity. And I think that one thing that can't be viewed as being discriminatory is geography, okay? And all the universities have always pursued geography. They'd like to have people from every state. Well, maybe they'd like to have people from every zip code. And maybe they'd like to have more people from some zip codes than other zip codes, or at least have zip codes represented in a way that was going to be reflective of whatever, okay? Zip codes have this factor, okay, in America, particularly the disadvantaged black America, live in very segregated places. And those tend to be segregated within zip codes. And so you can, by going through zip codes, we all know about several zip codes in Milwaukee, right? You can take zip codes that are socioeconomically and racially in minorities and use those as patterns for selecting students and not be accused of being racial. Now you're being socioeconomic. Socioeconomic diversity is not forbidden.
So let me tell you, Sandy, where the fear is and lies with people of color. This is the beginning of striking down these businesses opportunities where minorities have to have set asides in business opportunities that have attempted to level the playing field. And so this is not the end,
so
but
you're,
only the beginning.
You're right. So that, for instance, the municipalities that enact legislation that say that if Milwaukee is going to contract for something, they need to contract with minority employees. Yes, I would say that those kinds of things, based on this precedent, will come under attack now and could by this court, under the rationales they've applied, find those local legislative pieces overturned. And that is troublesome because obviously we are trying to make up for problems that exist in the past, and we're trying to cure problems. And some of the problems that currently exist are racial problems. And so how do you attack racial problems ignoring race? And it will become more difficult.
So when you look at these things, and this was no surprise, this has been coming for quite some time. So those in the know in my community, I mean, not just locally, but nationally, have been preparing, seeing this slippery slope that was, you know, you didn't have to be blind to see what was coming. When you have a Donald Trump who says, let's turn back the clock.
And let's make America great again, meaning, I guess.
Yes. And so we're here at this point, Sandy, and the future seems troubling, to say the least, as it relates to these racial components of the society. And, you know, I'm really concerned about the future of young children that I spend time working with and talking to.
Well, I will say this. If they would focus on, if there was a way to accomplish this racial end, but still make sure that we're focusing on the socioeconomic conditions that are the plague of many people of, for instance, African Americans. One of the things that happened with respect to this requirement that there be a minority representation, where there were law firms formed, I know in Milwaukee, young black attorneys who had gone to Harvard, who had great opportunities to work in various law firms. I know a fellow who worked at Foley and Lardner, who then went off into a minority law firm because they knew that they could be employed and would be employed under this condition and would essentially have ready access and an advantage. They didn't need this advantage, and they were not being – and this – this form of approach was not actually accomplishing the end it was hoping to accomplish, because these people already had all the advantages. And so similarly, if a black kid from Beverly Hills whose parents are millionaires in the movie industry gets into a school because they're black, we haven't accomplished the outcome we're looking for, which is to create upward mobility for people who don't have it.
So, Sandy, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. What say you? It's Friday. Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Ooh, yeah.
C summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.